Morning.
Morning.
Good to see you once again. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6. We've been looking at the study of this gospel. And in doing so, we've reminded ourselves that each of the four gospels, we find a different emphasis about our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Even though these emphasis overlap, it's not exclusively just found in one book or the other. When we look at, for example, in Matthew, we see the coming king, the emphasis of Christ as the king. And yet we see that in other passages as well. We see in Luke the emphasis upon the perfect man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus, and his humanity. And in John, we see tremendous amount of emphasis upon his deity, God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God. And so in Mark, we've been seeing time and again the humble servant, the Lord Jesus, coming about in shoe leather, you might say, meeting people where they were at, showing compassion, healing them, showing concern for their very physical need, and of course, above all, their spiritual need. And so we find in the book of Mark some passages that would be quote-unquote teaching passages where he would bring a parable out. But normally we see far more parables in like Matthew or Luke. In Mark we see much of action, things that he did along the way of his movements as he would go from the seaside or in a house or in a synagogue or upon a mountain. And Mark often will point out his movements and identify where he was going. And then we would see the portion before us. And so we've been looking particularly from the latter part of chapter 1 on through chapter 9 as the Galilean ministry. That area of Galilee that we see our Lord in his earthly ministry. So we're still in that section. And we've been spending a few times together in chapter 6. We want to look at the latter part of chapter 6 this morning. Now, the beginning of chapter 6, you may recall in verse 1, it mentioned how he went into his own country, and we did a little study there about this one from Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. And so as we follow through the passage and see some of the events that occurred, we want to pick up now, if you would please, at verse 45. We last considered when he fed the multitudes, as he fed 5,000, and there was other times when he fed 4,000. We find that, of course, just even later in chapter 8. So we don't want to confuse these scenarios, but very similar. And so when he fed the 5,000, and the details of that we pick up at verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, to go to the other side, before unto Bethsaida. While he sent away the people, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them towing and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. He would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wonder, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. And so in this latter portion of chapter 6, we see his movements again. He had just fed the 5,000, and we see that him, as it were, going to the other side of the water. But first, where does he go in verse 46? When he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. We see time and again in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, him getting apart, as it were, from others and spending time in prayer. How important it is that we ourselves take this pattern and come apart, as it were, for a time of prayer. Perhaps each of us have times when we are alone with the Lord. Maybe it's when you're on your way to school, or maybe it's on your way home from work and it's just you in the car, and or you're on a trip, or maybe it's a quiet place that you have in the evening, or taking a walk perhaps when you come home in the evening. A time alone with the Lord in prayer. And so here we see the Lord in prayer himself. And so we notice that as he would go into a mountain. And yet, notice in verse 47, when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them towing and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Now notice in verse 48, the word toiling and contrary. Doesn't this speak of our life at times? How we can toil, as it were, and we can be in the midst of difficulty, and it seems as if the things round about us are so contrary to us. The things of life. You know, we might interact with people in our workplace or in our neighborhoods or even family, and sometimes it seems maybe a bit stressful, or maybe there's tension. Maybe there are ones around us that don't know the Lord, and you know, they've got a different just whole world view, and there's stress, toiling, as it were, what is contrary to us, life's difficulties. You know, that's one of the good things about being part of a local assembly, isn't it? We can come together as a group of the Lord's people, realizing that, you know, we all have different things to deal with, or different scenarios, different environments where we're at, but we can come together with the like-mindedness to know that the one who can calm the troubled seas is the one we come together, we have in common, we come and gather unto him. It may have been the last message, we had a reference back into the Old Testament, remembering how those that gathered unto David, those that were in debt, those that were distressed, those that were discontented. And so, you know, the issues of life, the tolling of the things in our lives that are contrary to us, we still have one that we can go to. The one that Hebrews reminds us of is our great high priest, that in time of need we can go to him, to the throne of grace. So here's the physical situation. They're tolling. The winds are contrary to them. Verse 48 still. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now this is interesting. Hey, the problem's over. Here's the Lord. But, you know, they didn't at first recognize him. Perhaps you recall in the book of Luke, chapter 24, when we see the Lord having risen, one of the great passages that speak of his resurrection, and yet as he joins himself to two that were walking on that road to Emmaus, first, they didn't recognize him either. The things upon their minds and heart was weighing heavy. And for whatever reasons, we see that it says their eyes were seized. And yet the Lord joined himself to them. And he talked to them. And he began to open the scripture and talk to them about things concerning himself. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way? And then, of course, eventually when they sat down to break bread together, whether this was a meal or what have you, they recognized him. And it's been said before, what a great picture in this event, that when the breaking of the bread occurred, they had clarity. They saw who he was. Perhaps, suggestion only, perhaps they saw the nail prints in his hand. And so when you think of, here are ones that did not at first recognize him, but he made himself known to them. We go back and we stay in Mark 6, and here they were in this contrary wind, the storm tolling and the difficulties at hand. Here's the Lord walking upon the water. Not yet do they know who he is. Notice if we pick up then in verse 49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, or a phantom, the word there, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. Now if they had known who he was, there would be not trouble perhaps, but cheer in their heart. And they said unto them, he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. If you would put a finger there for a moment, and let's go over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, once again, we come to a portion that speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we find, as you compare the four Gospels, and you compare the times when we see the Lord not only in the crucifixion, but yet in the hours and days to follow, we see his resurrection. And in John 20, we see that he is found standing in chapter 20 and again in 21, at least four times. And in those cases, we see him taking this, we could call, four stands of his post-resurrection ministry, where he comforts, he strengthens, he reassures, and he restores. Isn't that something? He first comforts Mary. You see there in verse 11 on down, when her heart was, you know, tell me where they've taken him, and I'll tend to him. And yet he looks to comfort her. He says her name, and she knows then. Once again, at first didn't know who he was. He makes himself known to his own, doesn't he? There were those in the ship, as we're studying in Mark. There were those on the road to Emmaus in Luke. Here in John, we see Mary. The Lord makes himself known to his own. So he comforts her. He strengthens there, beginning verse 19, those 10 disciples that had come together in the upper room, and they were fearful of the Jews. You know, what's going to happen to us? The Lord's been crucified. What's going to happen to us? We were seen with him so much. But, you know, he would go on when a week later, here comes Thomas, and he joins them, and he reassures Thomas. Thomas, of course, has those wonderful words when he acknowledges, my Lord and my God. He saw the nail prints. In chapter 21, he's found standing again, and he stood, the Lord Jesus did in 21:4, on the shore. And this time, what does he do in his post-resurrection ministry? He restores Peter. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Do you love me? And this one, Peter, was the one who had denied the Lord, not betrayed him like Judas Iscariot, but denied him. And he had caught that eye of the Lord after the cock crew, you know, those three times. And he did as the Lord had said. He had denied him. And yet he went out weeping bitterly. Now the Lord is saying, Peter, do you love me? You can still serve me. And he restores this man, Peter. And so in these four stands of his post-resurrection ministry, within this, notice, similar to what we saw back with him walking on the water, when he said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Chapter 20 of John, notice verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And so we find here they had a need, and the Lord met that need. Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Of course, then it was a week later when we see that once again he joins unto them and Thomas is with them. Verse 26, 8 days later, we see Thomas. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." So we can rest assured, whether it's the disciples and then later even including Thomas, the Lord brings that peace and comfort to them. We saw it in the road to Emmaus, in a sense he spoke to them and their hearts burned with what they heard about him in the scripture. So let's go back to Mark 6. As we go back to Mark 6, and he speaks of peace in the midst of troubled storms.